Okay. So, Vink, you heard of this Steambox thing?
Steambox? I think I've got one of those.
Oh, yeah? How?
Yeah.
You got an early release copy?
I made some buttered carrots yesterday.
No. It's something a little bit different. This refers to a computer box for Steam games.
Oh. Well, that sounds almost as good.
Not as nutritious, though.
No, not nearly, but...
High in mineral content, but little else.
Wow. That sounds good. Wait. I mean, I love Steam.
Sure.
I've played some of my favorite games on there. But wait. Steam runs on computers,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
Is there a Steam client for PlayStation 3?
I think so. There's Steam crossover compatibility at the very least.
Well, I'm in Japan, so I don't...
I don't have a PS3.
Steam is... Oh, okay. Steam is not a known thing here.
Right.
I mean, I can use my account here and everything, but yeah, the whole downloadable store thing never really took off in Japan.
Yeah, it's since been mostly denied by Valve as not coming anytime soon, essentially. But at the very least, though, it sparked some interesting debate online and got me kind of thinking about some things. You know, it's sort of crossing the PC and console realms, which made me think of, like, why we have PC and console markets that are kind of separate but equal in the first place. And then I realized something that, you know, might be kind of heretical.
Oh dear! Oh, we're gonna get email again.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. What's
well,
what social norm are you breaking?
Well, you know, Nintendo is commonly given credit for rescuing the gaming market after the crash in the U.S. anyway in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, we did it on this show. It's kind of like one of the basic premises of the show, and.
Yeah,
and you know, a lot of people give Nintendo the credit, even though they took a nosedive a couple of generations later. Yeah,
live and learn.
Arguably, yeah. But then they got me kind of thinking, though. Didn't Nintendo really just save the console gaming market, and would it have been like better off left for dead?
Wow.
Yeah.
What? Whoa, I hold on. I need to get up from my chair so I can take a step back.
Well, I say this because before I was a console gamer, I was a PC gamer, and that PC was the Apple II. We've mentioned it on the show before.
I was simultaneously a computer gamer.
Okay, well, I pretty much was too. Like, even after the Nintendo came out and I had my own NES and the Super Nintendo, I was playing the Apple II right up until we sold it, like in the early 90s, I think, somewhere, or like mid 90s. And it was devastating to me because it was my first gaming machine, and I knew there would be no way to duplicate those experiences like on the PC /DOS/Windows platform, because it wasn't even until like 95 that Windows could really do games in a kind of unified environment, because that's when DirectX came out.
Oh yeah, I get. Well, I don't know. Like, there's always been PC games. My friends had PCs, but wow, up until like the early 90s, they had that weird CGA color palette that was like blue and purple and white and black, or green and tan and orange and black. I mean, what were they thinking there?
Well, CGA was just 16 colors, right?
Four. It was four colors.
Are you sure?
It was four colors.
I think it was 4-bit color, which would be 16.
EGA colors. Was 16.
Okay.
It was CGA was 4, then EGA was 16, and then MCGA was 256, and VGA was 16 colors at high resolution or 256 colors at low resolution.
Oh dear God! Right,
and it wasn't really until Super VGA. Yeah, I was a PC gamer.
Yeah, yeah. Super VGA, you could use like 640x480 with the full color spectrum, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Then there was like XGA and.
And then people stopped caring. Then it was just all about resolution and graphics card and VRAM.
Right.
And voxels.
But these are the kinds of things that consoles had to worry about.
Really?
Well, sure. Like, the NES could do so many colors, theoretically, but you can only like use, so many of them at once. So you'd have tile sets and color sets and you have to swap them out, to do certain things. Which is why even though the levels like in the Minus Worlds for Mario are, basically just versions of actual levels, they look different. Mostly because the color sets got swapped out.
Mm.
So even though the tiles are otherwise the same, it happens. So you know, the like Super Nintendo, Genesis, very much had to deal with those kinds of issues. That it's like, well, this is a better sound card, but this has a better color depth, and this has, you know, back and forth and back and forth. And those elimination or those differences are largely eliminated in the console realm, where the Wii U is going to be just as powerful as anything that's out this generation. And those differences have been long since eliminated in the PC realm, where everything, you know, is down to, I guess, the speed of your processor now.
Speed of your processor, amount of, how many cores your graphics card is. You know, there's still a lot to think about, but, like, there's definitely a baseline now. PCs have tried to have baselines before. Do you remember when they had the one like MPC? Like you'd buy a game and it would be like, this requires MPC, which was multimedia personal computer.
Mm.
It would be like the first MPC standard, I think, was a double speed CD-ROM drive, like 4 megs of RAM,
megs?
Something like that. I don't remember.
Wow.
But like they were trying to make a standard.
Right.
Like if you... You know, and then they had an MPC 2 or whatever, which was like the next step. It was like a 4x CD-ROM drive, and I don't remember the specs myself, but they were trying to do a standard, but it really didn't last very long.
Okay.
I think that's one of the trickiest things about computers is I remember having to look on the side of the box and read the system requirements. And that's one of the reasons I went console game. I was like, system requirement, GameCube. Okay, I got that.
Yeah, okay. I can kind of concede that point there, that PC gaming, I think, tends to be more on the cutting edge because the components are upgradable. So you can like buy a sound card, you can buy graphics cards. In fact, you know, having better graphics and better sound was largely driven by gaming on PCs because you don't need that kind of thing for a word processor. I mean, sure, it makes a funny sound when you make a mistake and something pops up like a paperclip or some kind of nonsense like that. But you know, that wouldn't have been a major driver. Like people were happy with their green text on a black background for a really long time.
maybe happy is too strong.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
But you know, on the other hand, very often, in order to take advantage of the latest game, you had to upgrade. And it might cost quite a bit of money, so I can concede that point. But I'm wondering if either Nintendo should let the console market die, or that it wasn't in as much danger as historians might like to say. Because, for instance, the crash really only happened in America, right?
Yeah.
More or less.
Well, I mean, video game crash happened in. Yeah, but like video game fad really only was in America at the time.
Okay.
I mean, arcades are different. I mean, if we're putting arcades into it, it's a little bit different. But like Atari was an American company, and that's where it sold very well, you know.
Right.
I don't really know about Europe.
Well, like, Japan didn't really have a problem, essentially. Like,
not they so were... much because they didn't really have a video game market. You know, they had the Atari television there.
Okay.
They had the Atari 2800. Not 2600.
Right.
2800. But I've, you know what? I've never actually seen one. I've seen the Japanese in television, but I've never seen the. Well, the Japanese in television, by the way, is an American in television with a different box.
Oh, okay.
And the games themselves are. I don't think like I don't know. I think some of them have stickers on with like a bit of Japanese, but they are American games.
Right.
They did the same with the Jaguar.
Right. Okay, well, maybe you're changing my mind now that maybe they did something kind of important, because the other thing that occurs to me is that PC gaming in the 80s was hardly mainstream. Like, no, I almost... Really, what's that?
Yeah, it really wasn't, yeah.
I there was, like, one friend I had who had, an Apple IIc, and, yeah. You know, we'd swap games, and I couldn't play some of his games because mine was older. But I didn't have people like hammering down my door to play my computer. Like when the first kid like next door got a Nintendo, I was like, what? And I had to be over there all the time just to play it. And it's like, you should go play there. You should go play with your friends and not just play their video game. And I'm just like, no, it's amazing. You don't understand.
And have you ever had a friend that you didn't really care too much for as a friend, but they had a really good video game collection?
Listen, I don't. I don't want to admit that to Jason. I'm sorry.
I don't want to admit that to you. No.
His brother. No. I lent them my copy of Zelda 2, and his brother erased all my saves because apparently, according to him, when you lend somebody something, it means they can do whatever they want with it while they
Faux
have it.
Paw. Faux pas.
No.
But like, yeah. Well, the reason your friends weren't knocking down your door is because you didn't have a Commodore 64. Now, I was an Apple II gamer too, but do you remember? You don't remember that commercial, do you?
Nope.
I don't remember any
Commodore.
I don't know. This probably aired when I was like 5 or 6, but it went. Let's see, how did it go? It had an amazing jingle. It was, but the one of the lines was, my friends are knocking down my door. They're into my Commodore 64.
Wow.
I have got to find that ad now. Yeah.
Put it in the show notes. I'm sure someone has it on YouTube somewhere.
Oh, no, I'm more alive than ever before. My friends are knocking down my door. They're into my Commodore 64. And we had Commodore 64s at my school. And I was like, I would not knock down a door for this. But all we had was like educational games. So.
Right.
I don't know. A friend of mine did have a Commodore 64, and they had some pretty good stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, I think they had strip poker.
Would you call that good stuff?
Well, I was so young. I'm like, this is boring.
All right, I'm going to keep trying to defend the PC here because, like, even after I got, well, what was it, 94, let's say. Yeah, so it's still in the Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis era. That's when a lot of other things started happening, a lot of other amazing things, like Doom came out, Duke Nukem 3D came out, like some really game-changing games, Quake, stuff like that. Really popular stuff that, you know, you could only play on the PC at the time.
Okay, so are we having a debate now?
I think we are.
My gosh. I mean, usually this show goes, hey, Sean, remember that game? It was so awesome. Yeah, so awesome. Yeah, you know. Are we actually taking different opinions today?
Why not? Because I'm thinking back, and even though I'm largely a console gamer now, yeah. I do have and love and respect my PC games, and there was a time when I fell off the PC wagon, but I keep getting pulled back every once in a while, and like Steam is one of those things, which is why the announcement of a Steam box made me say I'd buy that, because here's the problem, and maybe this is like a point in the console column, but okay. I don't want to spend the time and money to keep my PC upgraded. I know I'm a terrible techie nerd guy for admitting that, But the only computer I've been keeping upgraded is the one that, like, you know, does all my video rendering.
Huh.
And I don't play games on it. I'm relegating that to my, you know, non-business PC. And we were trying to start the podcast earlier. It's old, man. Like, I put this thing together, like, back in 2002. I think I've upgraded the processor once. The first time I booted up, it couldn't read my profile in Windows. The second time I booted up, it couldn't read the microphone for some reason. So, yeah. It takes, like, 3 or 4 minutes for everything to get going. It's pretty bad. And I just need to sink the money into it. But I need, like, $1,000 to get a nice PC going that has all the specs that I would, you know, find respectable. Because you don't, like, buy used PCs, you know? It's just not done. You can buy used consoles. You can play old games because they will work as much as you expected them to. They don't have to do anything else except be a game machine. But
you can buy used PCs.
I've never done that. Why would I even consider that?
Neither have I. But, I mean, there's a chain. There's a Computer Renaissance. They sell used PCs.
I've never heard of them. I've never, like, been like, man, you know, maybe I'll buy an Apple II again someday. But
I've been like that. Actually, a couple of months ago, I was looking on eBay, and I'm like, if it weren't for the shipping rates, I would have an Apple IIgs right now.
I'm never going to go, man, I wish I could run Windows 3.1 again and then try and find a 486 somewhere that's slow enough to handle it.
Yeah, well, but I got Windows 3.1 running on my iPhone.
Ah, yeah.
Through the, like, DOSBox emulator that got pulled, yeah.
You know what?
It was more of a proof of concept thing. I think I played a small game of solitaire and painted a smiley face, and then I was pretty much done with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is kind of a negative in the PC column too, though, because
listen, you're the worst debater for the PC.
I am. I'm only kind of more a PC gamer than you are, which is kind of why this is a problem. But the Steam Box thing's attractive to me because I don't have to upgrade it, and I can just do all my Steam stuff. But, like, one of the reasons that Steam's attractive to me is all these old games that I couldn't play anymore, because when you upgrade your computer, that's it. You don't have an old console to play your stuff on. Like, I have, like, a bunch of saves from my original Xbox games on my 360 because I never owned an original Xbox. Yeah. And you can't move those. They can't be ported. So if I want to play those games and use my old save files, I have to go to my original Xbox before I upgrade to the new one to keep playing those games, like the original Halo or Conker's Live and Reloaded. A PC you upgrade, it's gone forever, essentially. If the new version is not compatible, you don't really have anything to go back to, and typically you don't keep around old PCs, at least I don't. The parts get upgraded, which could change things. If the game was written in a way that it actually relied on the clock speed, like some Apple games were, you're SOL. Oh, yeah. So the consoles have that, and that they will always work the same way all the time, and the games will work as expected on them for the most part because they're cartridge and hardware based with no moving parts. I don't have to worry about floppy disks getting spilled on or erased or whatever else. And then Steam comes along and, like, helps me play all these old DOS games, especially like LucasArts Adventures that, like, I cannot play on a modern PC if I found the disks and tried to install them.
Well, scum VN. I mean, the virtual, like, if you found yourself a copy of one of the Monkey Island games or something, there's a program you can install on your computer that'll allow it to run on a modern system.
Sure. Yeah. Like Jumpman, I played on the Apple that got ported by somebody. There's now an iPhone reader for old adventure games that can do stuff like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy game that came out for PC and other platforms at the time. Again, stuff that I couldn't play ever again until someone thought of a way to upgrade and port it. On the other hand, things like the Wii have made it, or like Xbox Live Arcade have made it easy to play old games or games that are like old games by offering this service to give you a soft copy of these things that you loved for probably much cheaper than you would be able to get them for having to buy the hardware and the actual physical media. And you support the developers still, even though it's 20 years since they probably quit the company or whatever.
All right, I'm gonna go up to bat for console games right
now. Okay.
And since you've already made your controversial statement, I'm gonna make a controversial statement.
Okay.
Too much of PC gaming right now is all the same.
I don't know what you mean.
It's limited to MMORPGs, first person shooters, and kind of crunchy indie games.
Crunchy indie games. I'm not sure what that means.
I don't know what that means either, but I heard it on another podcast. Okay. No, like, okay. But, like, the main genres that you see, you know, are first-person shooters,
okay,
MMORPGs, and the best of the ones that I see are, and kind of Western BioWare-y RPGs.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that's a very good point because a lot of BioWare games are actually on both platforms.
Yeah.
And I've only played Mass Effect and Dragon Age on an Xbox 360, but there are PC versions of both of those games.
Yeah.
And in Dragon Age's case in particular, because it's so much like a single-player MMO, if that makes any sense. It's like one of the M's, the second M, is no longer... It's just massive. It's not even online necessarily. I mean, I guess this is one of the M's. Massive.
It's a massive game.
Yeah. But I mean, it's laid out and it plays like an MMO. You know, you have missions. You have this.
Yeah.
You don't really have like an open world, but you have an expansive one usually. And if you play the PC version, you have your powers mapped to hotkeys. Now you play on the console, and you have this weird system where you have like three face buttons you can use. And then you have to like pull one of the triggers down to like get three more powers. This is for Dragon Age again. We're talking about here.
Okay.
And at least in the first game, the way you set it up was that you can actually like do tactics to like have your characters, kind of fight on their own without having to directly control them. Although you could directly control them if you wanted to. And when you set one of those characters off to like just attack, you just like tell them to do it, and they'll just keep doing it until you tell them to do something else. So it was very MMO-like, I thought, from my experience with like World of Warcraft and City of Heroes.
Yeah.
And so that's a game that, even though it was on both, I think was probably better on PC. Although I figured out how to play it better on the console. There's a trick to use both the bumper buttons on the Xbox and probably like R1. Oh, see, I don't think it is on PS3, is it? It must be. Well, anyway, there's a trick to like select your whole party to attack one spot, which makes the gameplay a lot easier. And I think they tailored Dragon Age 2 to be more friendly to console gamers.
Yeah.
But I think that just kind of goes to show, really, that there are just certain kinds of games that just work better on PC, and there are games that just work better on consoles. Like, I would never play a strategy game on a console, even though StarCraft 64 is a thing that exists. I've never, ever touched a copy.
Yeah. I mean, you have the option, like, on the Dreamcast back in the day, you could get keyboard and mouse for playing Quake.
Right.
You know, or
GameCube.
Or stuff like that.
Fantasy Star. Yep.
Oh, yeah, that weird computery controller. Or that never came out in America, did it? Like the keyboard / controller.
Oh, yeah, I guess Phil Bond did have to import his, yeah.
But I mean, that's the thing. What is only on PCs? I know. If you go to a lot of gaming forums, and I sadly do, like, you know, they talk about the PC master race.
Oh dear.
You know, when the 360 came out, and when the PlayStation 3 came out, they're like, Mike, it's already 2 years behind, you know, because my computer is. And but the thing is, these computer rigs that these people were talking about were like multi-$1,000 rigs. Although now, of course, if you want a computer that is the same as like an Xbox 360 in power, you probably find one for about $400, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Prices go down on things very quickly. But so, I mean, that's what I can see as an advantage for PC gaming. And if PC gaming right now was an enhanced graphic version of PC gaming that I played on my Apple II,
mm-hmm.
I would be totally into that. But it just seems that it went a direction that I don't really care for.
Well, okay, so one game that at least for a while was on PC only and one console.
Yeah.
Was Telltale's Back to the Future game, and that has less to do with how it plays than the fact that the Xbox Live marketplace isn't really conducive to Telltale's business model, and they got burned on what was it, Monkey Island or something like that? That they had a really hard time with Microsoft.
It might have been Wallace and Gromit games. I don't remember.
Sure.
But yeah, something like.
So that. So when those five episodes of the Back to the Future game came out, it was only on Steam and it was on PS3, and that was it. Essentially, they did release a collected version on disc for the Wii later on, but to my knowledge, the Xbox has not gotten a copy, which is fine, I guess. But I am a terrible advocate for the PC because I was just going to say how I kind of wanted to get the Wii version because the computers I have to play it on don't run it too well. You know, graphically, they weren't really built to be 3D gaming machines. At least not in the modern day. So I had to turn the effects way down, and the resolution can be about what the machine can handle, but the 3D isn't as textured and nice looking as it could be. And for the Wii, you don't have that problem. So consoles, again, don't have the variability that makes the experience uneven across multiple platforms.
I do like playing Telltale games with the Wii remote, mm-hmm. but now my favorite way to play it right now is on my iPad.
Yeah, like the touch devices or the Wii are great for like point and click adventures like Telltale games because you literally point and click.
Yeah, I mean, like I hate playing platformers or anything on an iPad because those virtual controls just don't work for me.
Right.
But like a point and click adventure game, that's great. And I'm really happy that Double Fine raised enough money that there will be a version for mobile devices of their adventure game.
So. Oh, I know, right? Yeah, that's another great success story. Is they wanted $400,000. A week ago or so, they were at $2.6 million, which is
crazy.
Yeah, or it was closer to 2.8. They had some major multiple of what they were looking for, and 2.8 would be seven times what they actually were asking for. So
I hope we can do that. I mean, I'm not counting on $2.6 million, although that'd be nice.
Right. So that will have been closed by the time this podcast is released. But man, kudos to them. So if you missed your chance to join their Kickstarter campaign, maybe someone else will give you a chance to do a Kickstarter campaign in the future. I'm just saying.
But I like Kickstarter. I went there and I supported some high school kids who were making a movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was amazing because I'm seeing all these really expensive projects to fund, and their movie was like, we need $600.
Nice, nice.
So we could buy, like another battery for the camcorder and some pizza for the filming day.
Yeah.
And when a movie director says that one of his shining accomplishments is that he earned Eagle Scout. I'm like, oh yeah, that's why Spielberg's so famous too.
Yes, yes.
Here, Eagle Scout. You know, I just like that's great. Here is $5, kids. No, but like I just think that's awesome because I always wanted to make a movie when I was in high school, but I didn't have any money and there was no Kickstarter.
Right. There was barely an internet, honestly.
Yeah.
Not in the way it is now.
I could go on Usenet and go, send me money.
Yeah, Usenet.
And be like, how old are you, little boy? And I'd be like, never mind. So, yeah.
Well,
it was a scary place back then.
Right? Oh, it's still, yeah. Well, yeah. Speaking of Tim Schafer and Double Fine, like I played Brutal Legend and I loved it. I loved the style. Yeah. I was a fan of Full Throttle. Well, I played it game. Once, really, but like I was a fan of that style of game, essentially, which is why I want to support this project. But
yeah.
See what people didn't realize about Brutal Legend was it was a strategy game in disguise, and you know, again, strategy games with the console just don't really work. They don't have the right kinds of inputs. Yeah. And
it did start out as a strategy game, though. You fooled me, Tim Schafer.
Right? Yeah, from the demo, you had no idea what it was going to be like that. So, I mean, you know, granted, there were non-strategy elements to it in the overworld, but like the most important story events centered around the strategy element, and so I can see why people might not have liked it so much. But I loved it. But when you make a game with online multiplayer and people just don't play it, that's a good indication that it's for the wrong platform. And the PC would have been the way to go. I'm just saying. So I'm hoping. Well, what is this unnamed adventure game going to come out for?
Oh, like Mac, PC, okay. Linux,
okay.
iOS, probably Android, I'm guessing. Tim Schafer said he will make it that it'll work on selected Android devices.
So
I'm guessing, you know, Galaxy and, you know, the big ones, the big ones.
Right. Yeah, that's another thing, which is an issue with PC gaming too, is that the Android market, like the Windows/PC market, is because the hardware can vary so much, unlike an Apple product or a Nintendo product. you can't count on a consistent user experience, so you can only support a subset, which is why things like DirectX came out for Windows after a time to help smooth over those differences.
Yeah, and it's actually a very good comparison. Like, an Android device is like very, you know, it's unlocked. It's kind of free. You know, anybody can make something for it. Very much like a PC. You know, and you can tinker with it. You can change the experience, and you can, you know. Mm-hmm. But with a console, you're limited to what games they allow on it.
Right.
You know what user experience they've chosen. And maybe that's why, oh gosh, wow, the iPhone is the console, the Android is the PC.
I was just thinking that the handheld market's kind of its own beast, and I think Nintendo was probably the first company to make a lot of money at it as a gaming platform. Because like, you know, well, there weren't like a lot of Palm games, were there? Or like Newton games? I mean,
they existed. I had three different generations of Palm devices.
Yeah.
Huh. And started with a black and white one, then got a color, and then got a nice color one with actual sound. I've been playing Bejeweled for a long time.
Well, like nice.
It's a good port of SimCity too. Well, like, but no, there's nothing.
Yeah, if you flash forward to now, apparently the Kindle Fire uses Android, and that's so you can play Android games on that. Even though Kindle's like more like those early tablets, you know, handheld like PDAs than like a handheld phone or PC or anything like that.
Yeah, it's different. It uses a custom flavor of Android that only allows applications to be bought from the Amazon market. Like you can't.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
I mean, it's a lot of stuff, and I'm sure someone's hacked it to allow whatever you want on it. But like,
sure,
it's originally a closed system, but in a different way.
I mean, it'd be easy enough to like for a developer to at least support some kind of Android tablet game for the Kindle Fire, essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're totally right, though. It's like, yeah, the Android market is more like the PC market of the handheld realm, and Apple's Nintendo.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. But I'll tell you right now, when I was in high school or early college, I would have bought an Android, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I love to tinker with stuff and change stuff around. And, And, you know, and I would, I don't want the man to tell me what games I can play, you know.
But I think, you know, I think part of the reason for, like, the iPhone's success and the same reason, like, console gaming sticks around is that just the way it packages the user experience.
Yep. It's because you know exactly what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It may not be the best thing in the world, but, like, maybe I'm just old now, but, like, PC gaming, I remember taking hours to change the autoexec.bat file so I could run certain programs. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you had to appropriate the memory into different places to make certain games run and stuff. And it was okay. I had the time. But, like, if I had to do anything like that now, I just wouldn't play it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, that's good for us, at least when we were younger, because we wanted to tinker. But I'm just at this point where I don't feel like I should have to. And the people who do are, like, this increasing minority.
I don't know. They'll always be college kids.
No, true. But, like, you couldn't make a multi-billion dollar market out of PC gaming the way that consoles have become, I don't think. Although, I guess I guess the PCs are part of that multi-billion dollar industry. I can't really just divide it along those lines easily.
It's hard to, yeah.
But you know, I don't get excited for a major PC release. You know, you don't have, like, store release events unless, like, even stuff like
World
WoW.
Of Warcraft.
Yeah, but
World of Warcraft.
But that's, like, the only one I can think of.
Yeah, you know? I can't really think of another one.
It's like every other major console release, like, huge publisher has. Like, you know, we just had the Mass Effect launch, which again was a game for PC and Xbox and now
sure
PS3.
It's skewed more heavily Xbox. Mass Effect 3 was not on PlayStation 3.
It was, but the original one wasn't because Bungie used to be a Microsoft studio, as we mentioned in our last podcast. But that launch has been interesting, by the way. So first of all, thank you everyone for crashing the Powit TV server, because we had a guide for how to fix your Mass Effect 3 face import issue, and I guess that got enough traffic finally that it just brought the whole site down. Yeah.
Why don't people ever crash our site, Sean?
I don't know. Wouldn't that be great? I would love to get wanged.
I did that amazing thing about Color Dreams, and no one's crashed our site.
I know. So. I think Mass Effect's one of those games that works better on the PC anyway, whereas Dragon Age definitely hews the other way. At least the first one does. I guess both versions of the game had an issue where if you imported your Mass Effect 1 customized character, I actually had to do a custom one, imported that in the Mass Effect 2, what was supposed to happen was it would create a face code, and that face code is what Mass Effect 3 uses to import your face from Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
But I guess there was a bug that didn't allow that to happen properly. Or either it was a bug or they just never implemented it. Like, no one really knows for sure. But the data is all there if they wanted to do the conversion later on, because that's what this workaround allows you to do is you actually have to, like, go into your Xbox or PC save. It's actually a more arduous process for the Xbox because you have to turn it into a PC save. So you have to, like, go. Move your save onto a thumb drive. Use a program to scan that thumb drive on your PC to extract that save file. And then it's like, because of the way that the save file is packaged, you actually have to go in and pull out a specific game save instance out of that overall game save file, which requires another program. And then you have to use a free website, to convert that from Xbox to PC. But once you have the PC version of the save, or if you have the PC version to begin with, you can just use this third program to go through all the morphology facial options.
What? This does not sound worth it.
It was worth it to me because if you're like me and you're crazy,
you did this.
I did this. If you're like me and you're crazy, you will spend the 2 hours to figure this out. And then I wrote up the guide for Powit to hopefully knock that down to like maybe half an hour. It's mostly based on this other guide, but, like, you know, the guy is like, you're going to import your Xbox save to your PC somehow, and I don't know how to do that, so I figured out how to do it. Essentially, I found another couple of sites that had software and some good stuff, so, like, it wasn't all cohesive in one place. So I think that's why it got crashed.
Wow.
Because if you actually searched for these results on Google, it'd be in the top 10 at least, sometimes in the top 5. So it'd be above the fold, which is great.
Okay,
and it'd be the only one out of those five that actually mentioned how to fix it, because all the other search results were like, BioWare announces they're going to release a fix for it, you know, at some undetermined time. And then, like, you go down, you see the Pow TV link, oh, this is how you actually fix it. Or, you know, it's a workaround. And it does require some work and a little bit of math because of the way they store their values and whatnot. But,
and I mean, that's what bothers me now. Here, I'm gonna go all out with this.
Go.
With PC games, it's okay to release kind of an unfinished product.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, you can release a patch later. You can add a fix. You know, you can stuff like that. But like in the past, at least, console games were tested extensively. You know, mm-hmm. because you had no fallback. If you put an error like this into your game, you'd have to do a recall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And still, for some Wii games, there's recalls.
I actually haven't been caught up in one of those. Interesting.
There was a... It was some RPG that had, like, a game-breaking bug.
Interesting.
Like, you couldn't actually beat the game if you went a certain way. It was...
Actually, Zelda has this problem, Skyward Sword. And if you find yourself in such a save state, you actually have to send your console back to Nintendo, and they'll fix it for you. But you have to send your console back to Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is you know, if you have a PC, at least you can fix it yourself if you have the right tools or wherewithal.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I mean, actually, now that I think about it, I think that was a PlayStation 2 game. But anyway, okay,
sure.
But regardless, I mean, what's going on here is. But so you don't hear too many of those stories because the games have to be tested extensively. But you hear all the time lately about things being released that have, you know, that have problems on the PC. And recently, you know, the Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3. And I worry that that's the direction we're going in.
Well, the console and PC realms have kind of been on an intersecting courses lately, because
very much so.
There was a time when they were very distinct, and like the PCs couldn't even do some of the stuff the gaming machines could do, and that's been getting less and less distinct. But then also the console started including more and more hardware and features that only PCs had, like, you know, optical drives with the CD-ROMs, and later the DVDs, and now Blu-ray.
Yeah.
In fact, DVD and Blu-ray as technologies were pushed largely by consoles, so I guess I'll give them that.
Yeah.
You know, more than PCs were, to get them in homes so people could actually use them as multimedia devices, and that's been kind of the strategy of the game companies since then, is to not just have a game device but have a multi-purpose, multimedia station to play all of your stuff on. So now you can use your Xbox to stream, or PS3 or Wii to stream Netflix, stream stuff from your computer, play Blu-rays, at least in the case of the PS3, DVDs, music, all that kind of stuff. But as they did so, they made them more like computers, because they also added hard drives, and some moderately upgradable components, like either a dial-up modem or a broadband adapter, which have become more and more standard, fortunately. They also have had more hardware problems, whereas like an NES can run forever as long as you keep the contacts clean.
Yep.
You know, there will be a day when the lasers and those optical drives will be out of alignment and won't work anymore.
Yep.
That'll come much later, the service-based gaming industry decides to stop supporting their services.
Well, exactly.
Which is also a problem for PC gaming these days.
Hardware can be fixed, but if the infrastructure goes down, that's a bigger concern to me. But I mean, I guess this has been a very poor job of talking up PCs, hasn't it?
It really has. We probably just should have just talked about it like we normally do.
Well, we pretty much did talk about it how we normally do.
Yeah, I suppose.
But like, that's the thing, though. PC gaming is, I don't know, like, will PC gaming and console gaming just merge completely?
I don't think so. Let's take the iPhone as an example. It's a multimedia you know, multi-purpose device. It's essentially a computer in your pocket that's more powerful than, you know, anything in the 90s, for instance. Okay.
Yeah.
Easily. But it's only meant for certain things. You know, it, again, it's, like, it's a package user experience. And in, even to some extent, Android devices, you know, it's still got a certain form factor. It's only good for certain things.
Yeah. I mean, if you hack it, you can do a lot of stuff on an Android. But sure. But still.
You're never going to, like, you know, do video editing from an Android phone or an iPhone. I mean, not to the robust...
I have iMovie on my iPhone. but yeah, I mean, it's more convoluted to do it that way. You know, it's possible, but why?
You know, these are consumer devices. These aren't like, you know, professional development devices.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah,
is where I'm going with that. And I think that's part of why consoles succeed, is because those are consumer devices.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am a consumer, but I'm also, you know, I've been a tinkerer and a hacker, quote unquote, in the PC realm, which is why I probably stuck with it as long as I did, you know, playing those kinds of games. Occasionally something brings me back in, like, you know, after Duke Nukem, it was StarCraft. And after that, it was the MMOs like World of Warcraft and City of Heroes. And after that, it was Civ 5 and then the Telltale games and Steam in general. But I never hewed heavily towards that direction, but just more than most people I know who, like, really love their consoles. And I'm like, well, you can do all this stuff with your PC. Why wouldn't you want to play your games on there too? Why wouldn't you want them all in one place? And that's kind of where, like, things like the iPhone have gone with that. It's like, yeah, let's have them all in one place, but you don't need the vast amount of control that this is kind of like a selling point for people. Like, tell me, why'd you buy an iPhone? You should have bought an Android. You can do all the stuff with it. It's like, I don't really care if I do all that stuff with it, honestly.
iPhone. Apathy.
Right? I'm too hipster to, like, be into your, like, hacking BS, man.
I picked out an iPhone because at the time I needed a really good Japanese dictionary and something for kanji, because I live in Japan.
Yeah.
And they had a program that I saw my friend use, and I wanted to use it, and it wasn't on Android, so I got an iPhone. You know, I'm simple that way. It's probably on Android now, but, you know.
Right.
At the time, but now I'm too locked into the ecosystem.
That's the other problem too, right? It's like I wouldn't want to jump to the PC version of, like, Mass Effect or Dragon Age because I'm locked into the first game in the series I played for the Xbox. Now that tool I mentioned to help with your face import was initially just designed to convert your Xbox save to a PC in case you wanted to go that route, or vice versa, honestly, so that you could have either one. but that wasn't why I wanted it, but it works well in this case. but you know, you could do it. It's an unofficially supported solution, but you can do it. But it also kind of goes to show that you know, games these days have title updates, except for Wii, I think. You know, PlayStation, Xbox 360. There's always patches coming out, and putting things on disk, I felt like, was a step in this direction of like developers becoming more and more lazy, so they don't have to have a product that's been totally tested and is good to go on day one. Because there's so many games I've put into my Xbox that have had an update immediately on release day.
Oh yeah,
ridiculous. Again, so like, you know, 20 years from now, if they're not supporting that title anymore, you buy it used. And I'm sure they don't care about this because they don't get any money from it. You know, you're going to have a potentially broken product.
Oh, definitely.
But also, much like the PCs, where if you upgrade it at all, you can't go back to an earlier state. Like, you know, the original Xbox dashboard is all but extinct now. You can't buy a machine that has the old style anymore. And the one I had from near launch has been upgraded to the most recent version. I think it was actually one version behind, but I lent it to work so we could do video conferencing with the Kinect, and that meant that it would have to be upgraded from that point. So.
Yep, I Sony on the PlayStation 3 has eliminated all traces of the Spider-Man logo.
Oh, interesting.
You know, the Spider-Man font, yeah. PlayStation 3, yep. got replaced with the PS3. Like, they changed their dashboard and stuff, and it's got all these sparkly things on it right now. I'm used to it now, but when it first happened, I'm like, oh, how can I downgrade?
Yeah, you can't ever go back.
You can't.
It just can't happen. They have avatars now. They have the Kinect. You know, all these things are, like, locked into that ecosystem. So you literally won't be able to play newer or older games, essentially, if you had a way to go back. So, you know, in that respect, those newer consoles are very, very much PCs. Not just in their components, but just in their entire design philosophy. They have operating systems, for crying out loud. That didn't happen with cartridges.
I know.
Well, you need to. No.
Well, I mean, you had like a copy of like the boot up routine you needed or whatever, but you didn't have like an actual, because, you know,
really until PlayStation. Yeah, PlayStation Saturn.
Well, even the CDs, like, didn't have OSs per se, but they could do things without there being any kind of medium in the drive at the time. So, like, you had the interface on the Sega CD, like, play CDs, or, you know, any disc-based system, really, had that kind of interface.
So, I guess we didn't do a great job of having a debate here. We need to try something a little more decisive in the future.
I guess so. Okay, how about we do a lightning round then?
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, so consoles are bad because you got to buy one every 4 to 5 years.
But with PCs, you'll be lucky if your PC stays cutting edge for half that.
I suppose, but they are upgradable. Components are. You don't have to buy a whole new one.
Oh, that's true, but some of the upgrades cost almost as much as the console.
True. On the other hand, I think... I got nothing to come back with. I'm sorry.
Well, okay. I'll help you out. I'll help you out there.
Okay.
Consoles start out obsolete before you even buy them.
So consoles start off obsolete before you even buy them. Like, the PCs are always...
That's totally not true. Better. I don't know where you'd get such terrible information from.
Well, you know, first-person shooters...
Consoles rule and PCs drool.
No. Man.
No, seriously, man. But... here, let me put it out. With the whole concept of a Steam box, you know, I'm sure a lot of people would buy one, but there's not a good track record for consoleized PCs.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, if Valve's making a lot of money off of their current platform, you know, depending on other people that have and maintain their own PCs, why would they want to enter the console market? Why? What money would they hope to gain from selling it?
Microsoft, just in the last few years, has finally turned a profit from their massive, massive losses with the original Xbox, $4 billion.
Right, right.
And early losses with the Red Ring of Death, Red Ring of Death, Xbox 360s and stuff like that. You know, you make your money off software and licensing. That's where, unless you're Nintendo, where you make money off everything.
Yeah, there are dedicated devices out there for doing things like streaming video, for instance, to your TV. Like, even like installable modules on newer televisions now. That's kind of a thing. Yeah. But I don't know anyone who even owns an Apple TV or a Roku or anything like that. That's just a dedicated streaming your stuff to TV device. I know lots of people with PlayStations and Xbox 360s who use it for Netflix.
Yep.
Or other kinds of streaming, or there's a YouTube app on the 360 now. You actually watch it directly now, which is not too shabby. So I guess I was just thinking how, in order to get into that proper multimedia space, you're not going to have a dedicated device just for that one thing. You need the iPhone of consoles, essentially, to really bring those services to bear. So having Steam on a console like the PS3 is probably sufficient. If they can make deals with Microsoft in the future, although I don't know if Microsoft's going to want to relinquish allow anyone to circumvent their content delivery system that they've created, and I'm almost positive Nintendo
levels and stuff like that.
Because I pay $60 a year, Well, I don't pay $60, but I pay for the subscription every year.
Yeah.
I buy the cards for much less than that, typically.
Yeah, what was it? It was either Netflix or Hulu that couldn't get on the Xbox 360 for a long time because that it required that people be gold members or something. Yep,
that's still an issue. So, like, if you want to use Netflix, you got to be a gold member. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, because for a long time, Netflix was like, no, we won't make you a client unless everybody can use it.
Yep.
And they went, no. And they went, okay, we'll make one for Wii then. That's a
right,
slap
exactly.
In the face.
Exactly.
Because Wii doesn't get anything.
Right. And the Wii can't do high definition streaming because it can't do high definition. So.
But I heard a really, I don't know if this is still accurate. I heard this last year. The Wii is the most popular console, but I heard that Netflix is the other than PC, the number one device that Netflix was being streamed from was the Wii.
I believe it.
And I can believe it, but like I'm like, that's kind of sad. I mean, I love the Wii, but like I play the Wii for Mario and Zelda. I wouldn't do it for like streaming video. I mean, it's great quality, you know.
I was just gonna say, you know, you can't use it for playing games. What else are you gonna use it for?
Ouch!
Well, you know,
ouch!
What did I play before Skyward Sword? I played. I didn't even finish Other M or Donkey Kong Country Returns.
I'll tell you what you didn't play.
And they were
play.
A year
you
apart.
Didn't play No More Heroes 2.
That was even older, and no, I didn't.
I just bought some Wii games very recently. I bought Metroid Prime Other M.
Okay.
I bought Punch-Out.
Right.
Which I've been meaning to get for a while. And I got Sin and Punishment 2.
But those games are all years old, aren't they? Or at least a year old. I'm glad I have my Xbox, though, because there are games I've been happy to buy. Like, I got Soul Calibur 5. I got Batman Arkham City. I got Mass Effect 3, obviously. And there was one more before that. Just in the last few months, you know? The only game I bought in the last year for my Wii is Skyward Sword, and I haven't finished it yet.
Well, I mean, on the Wii, there's these games coming out like, just a minute. Okay, we've talked about Xenoblade.
Yep, Xenoblade
last story.
Last story.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And there's oh dear, there's got to be something else. Probably another Just Dance game.
No.
It's over.
The Wii U is coming to market. You know, I'm sure we're gonna have more to say about the next generation of gaming. Once there are other consoles officially announced for that generation, because right
that's
now it's
true.
Just the Wii U.
That's true. So I don't know. PCs. I think it's time for us to issue a challenge.
Sure.
Neither of us did a very good job debating that the PC is better,
right.
But maybe some of our listeners could. So if you have a strong opinion about the PC, why don't you send us an email, or better yet, get out a little microphone and do a recording of your rant yelling at us. Please, no F-bombs.
Right.
And we'd love to hear it because we had thought of the concept of a debate, but it turns out that Sean and I just have too many similarities here.
Yeah, so you know, if you don't want to record this this rant or other contribution yourself, you can just call us at 608-492-1923 and leave a voice message there, and it will be digitized for us to repeat on our show, which is pretty
Ooh.
Cool. I know, right?
Yes.
I think
fame.
We're... Sorry?
Fame. People will
fame.
Be famous
yes.
for being on our show.
Right, naturally. I think where I actually fall is that the console is good for one kind of gaming and the PC is good for another kind of gaming, and my interest in the latter isn't as strong as it used to be, but I will, like I said, I'll never play deliberately one that's not, I'm not tricked into Tim Schafer playing a strategy game or a first, well, I guess first person shooters are kind of 50-50 for me.
Everyone says mouse and keyboard is the way to go, but
yeah.
Me, I don't like first-person shooters at all. So,
yeah,
I take that back. No, I don't.
But yeah, so yeah, please leave us your messages. If you don't want to use your voice, you can always just write us something at famicomdojo.tv. Leave a note in our show notes.
And we'll
podcast.
Take a guess of what we think your voice sounds like.
Yeah,
when
we'll
we read
imitate
it back.
You on the show.
Hello, I'm a PC gamer. I wish that...
I'm a proper console gamer. Chip, chip, cheerio. That was an awful English accent. I can do better.
What language even was that? I'm guessing
but,
British with the chip chip, but that's...
No.
Wow.
Maybe it was an early American colonist who really just did not want to fight England. No?
Bully on that.
Bully on that. You can also, if you don't have a lot to say, just tweet us, Famicom Dojo. If you don't feel like going to our website, and why wouldn't you? Maybe it crashed because it got so popular all of a sudden. You can go to Facebook, which strangely never crashes, and leave us a message on our Facebook page, Famicom Dojo. And hopefully in coming weeks we'll have more videos for you to see on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
That's Orange.
I will leave you with a song.
Okay.
I'm more alive than ever before. My friends are knocking down my door. They're into my Commodore 64. Whoa, yay! Whoa!
Famicom Dojo.